This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello, ILTA members. Today's podcast is part of our information governance interview series and is titled Disposition, Importance to Maintain a Modern Policy and Procedure. My name is Catherine McCray, and I'm joined by Chuck Barth, who will be discussing disposition and why it is important to maintain a modern policy and procedure for it. Chuck, would you like to tell us about your background?
Yes, I am the Director of Information Governance at Davis Wright Tremaine. I've been involved with records management for about 10, 15 years now at various firms and always up for sharing knowledge.
That's great. Let's just dive right into it. What made you select this topic?
Well, retention and disposition is a very important topic, and it comes to us right now in an area of transition. A lot of firms are transitioning to a more digital environment, so it's important that our policies maintain relevancy by addressing the current state of where client data is. And some firms still may not have a policy or a procedure in place. So now's the time to get that in if you don't have one. Or you may be working off an older policy that does not take into consideration all of the new places and repositories that client data might be stored. Your standard records management policy probably focuses on paper documents, which are no longer the main source of client data. And also retaining electronic records beyond the time required will also significantly increase your firm's exposure to legal, regulatory, financial, and reputational risks. So just like paper, the electronic copies are no different. And you want to make sure that your clients are aware of your disposition process and retention periods. You might want to put that verbiage in your engagement letter and expressly specify that it's digital and paper information.
With that said, what should a firm look for in creating a policy, and what should it cover?
Oh, all kinds of things. And creating a policy is important, but to do so, you have to understand your business. And you need to make sure it includes several things, specifically a policy statement that should cover why you need to manage the records and stress the importance of it. Because you just can't throw something out there, we need to do this. You generally have to explain why. And the policy statement should also define the ownership of records. Who has responsibility of executing the policy should also set the scope and also mention any risks of not adopting the policy. So it's very clear of why this policy is needed. In understanding your business, your policy should also define the different types of records. In most law firms, you can somewhat easily separate them into three different buckets: client work, personal items, and administrative. And each one may have its own retention policy. So you want to make sure you account for that so it's clearly defined. With personal material, you may have specific repositories where people can store materials, whether it's in your DMS or some more machines on your C drives. And when a person leaves the firm, a lot of firms will set a time that, you know, they will retain this personal information for example, 12 months, and then the information is purged. You just want to make sure that there's no client data hidden in there. Administrative work is generally your firm business, maybe tax and accounting, human resources. They all might have different retention periods than specific client work. So you want to make sure you have that defined and accounted for. And then with client work, it's generally all in one bucket, but there are some like trust and estates and other materials that might have a different retention period. But as long as you define them and have them listed, people will be able to understand. Your policy requirements should also contain a high-level description of what the expectations are around managing data at your firm. It should review the high-level description of expectations and go through the proper management of records throughout the life cycle. So from beginning the creation through use, storage, and then ultimately disposition, that should be clearly outlined in your information governance or records management policy. And how this life cycle then is in compliance with the retention schedule. So your expectations should be able to match the life cycle closure of your files with your retention schedule. And also how you are in compliance with any legal and audit holds, because I'm sure everybody's policy has a litigation hold section, and you need to make sure there's a policy and procedure in place that will remove information from your disposition process once it's placed on legal hold, and then the ability to re-add it in with the hold when the hold expires. You also have your own internal organizational procedures for confidential information. So you want to make sure your policy addresses that, where things can be stored, how they are stored and accessed, and what that means in your disposition process. How can those be accessed easily? And then it should also cover the proper disposition of records, how they are disposed, whether by shredding, incineration, deletions off a shared drive, if you have backup tapes that they need to be pulled from. You know, once you dispose something, you need to have that identified in your policy, how that's going to be defined. And there, your policy should also provide requirements for the actual creation of records and then the retention of them. I should define what is a record, where it should be stored, should explain why it needs to be stored in a particular repository, listing any statutory or regulatory requirements, any privacy requirements or litigation requirements, just so people have an understanding of the importance of using proper repositories. Should also instruct the reader, again, about the records retention schedule and explain why the specific retention period was designated for each source, whether it was personal, administrative, client, or subcategories of each. The policy should also define the company's policies with how you're maintaining confidential information. So there should be a section in there on how you're controlling the access to confidential information. Whether it's in your DMS or secured share drives, should also be identified in there. Should also define any limitations you've set on what client data is, whether it's like personal emails, personal devices, texting. And of course, the policy is going to cover physical materials. But the more modern approach is to make sure that all your electronic repositories are included. And getting those together is a little more of a challenge if you don't have them clearly defined. So before you start, some cleanup might be needed. You're going to need to kind of data map your entire footprint and enterprise and identify every possible location where this client data might be stored. You could have it in your DMS, hopefully. Could be locked up in your email, whether an unstructured inbox, just, you know, big blob of information, or segregated folders within an attorney's email. Various shared drives on your enterprise, any messaging apps, SharePoint, Relativity drives, and in many cases, external drives and media. A lot of items are put onto cold storage due to the volume, and those need to be accounted for in your disposition process. With the messaging apps and texting, your firm is going to have to define if they have decided that messaging is an attorney-client work product. Most of the time, it is not, and your policy should cover that to say that, you know, these devices and applications should not be used to discuss client work. If your firm does allow them, you need to have a way to export and preserve those discussions. There's really only a handful of applications out there that'll permit that easily. So, you know, make sure your IT is in agreement with the business practice, and you have that ability to export and preserve this information. Another understanding of why electronic disposition is important is that digital storage also has a cost. Historically, people have looked at this as, well, you can put this on the shared drive and it can stay there forever because there's no cost. Well, there is a cost. A lot of places are moving to cloud-based document storage systems now. So there's cost there. It may be by gigabyte or terabyte. And over time, if you're not purging your system, your footprint is going to grow and grow, and your cost is going to grow and grow. By maintaining your disposition process and deleting information is going to help you control those costs. And even if your document storage is on-prem, there's still a cost for your IT department to provide support for all the hardware and software and the security management of that information. So you have to take all of these into account for your electronic storage.
You've outlined really great guidance. What are your thoughts around automated versus manual processes based on needs, budget, and firm size?
That's a great question. You know, of course, automation is always best. The less you have to manually remember and control, the better. But, you know, we know that budgets aren't blank checks. And sometimes we do need to supplement processes with a lot of manual interventions. So just looking at an automated process now, a larger firm will most likely have some sort of advanced records management system. Hopefully, a newer version is going to provide an integrated view of all the repositories in your firm that you've identified. Once you've mapped everything, your advanced system should be able to index all those items, take into account not only for your paper files, but also the information in your DMS, file shares, e-discovery archives as well. And that automation is going to help you control all that and keep it indexed so you don't have to remember that, oh, I need to check here, there, or this other place. And it should contain automated triggers based on the dates and actions set by your retention policy. So a common trigger is a matter close date. And your system should be able to recognize that matter close date. And if your retention period is 7 years or 10 years, it should be able to automate a trigger based on that date and drive actions performed as defined by your retention policy and procedure. For any manual processes, that you know, maybe a firm doesn't want to spend the money on a very advanced records management system. Could be just a one or two office firm, but you still have documents that you want to keep track of. And a smaller firm could benefit from some automation that's built manually. You know, if your volume of archived materials is in a manageable state, and you know that is up for opinion and on what is manageable. But if we say just, you know, 10 or 20,000 files, a manual process could be possible with limited automation. You generally would have a billing system, and those maintain the open and close dates on the matters. So if your matter date is part of your retention trigger, you'd be able to run queries off those dates at regular intervals to determine what matters have been inactive or closed for the duration of your retention period. And you can use that list of matters to look at what physical files you have in your records management system, and also what you have digitally, and then follow your policy from there. Whatever that might be, there's different procedures, but you should be able to do that. And you just pull those archived files then to destroy and deleting your electronic files. So it is possible to do this manually with a manageable volume, but automation is your friend and helps you go through all your disposition tasks so you don't miss something. So I hope that gives a good explanation on modernizing your records and disposition procedures.
That was great. Thanks, Chuck.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.